You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Next up on Destination Freedom.
So, there's a countless number of people who aren't even in the number who have probably had it, gotten over it, and then it's that whole issue of how it spread. And you have people who think they have a cold and they keep going, or you're not being tested, or you're getting tested late and you've walked around during the part when you're infected because of the inefficiency around the whole testing piece.
Welcome to episode 19 of Destination Freedom Black Radio Days podcast. I'm producer-director Donnielle Betts. On this episode, we hear my interview with Black micro-business owner Risa Jones. After a two-year life-threatening battle with a rare form of leukemia, blood cancer, CMML, which required chemotherapy, a bone marrow transplant, and 2 years of recovery. There's a story to be told. Leukemia is a big part of Risa Jones' story, but not the whole story. At the end of her recovery period, her husband asked her the question, what do you really want to do with your life? Indirectly, Risa answered, I want a tea house. Tea Lee Tea House and Bookstore is located at the gateway of Denver's historical Five Points neighborhood. In an Afrocentric atmosphere, they provide high-quality loose-leaf teas, food, and specialty drinks, including beer and wine. We hear Risa Jones' story in the time of COVID-19. Next on Destination Freedom Black Radio Days. Hello, everyone. This is Donnie Betts, and this is Destination Freedom Black Radio Days. We continue our conversation with various people who have been impacted by COVID-19. Disease doctors, survivors, people who work on the front lines. And also, now we're going to talk to people who really been impacted by their businesses. We have on the line with us today Risa Jones, who is the co-owner of Tea Lee, a beautiful tea shop in Five Points neighborhood in Denver, Colorado. And we're going to talk about a lot of things today, but we're going to start with something that we were sharing off mic, and that is the fact that her daughter, Sunny, had COVID-19. So, Risa, let's talk about that. You said your daughter works at Mount Sinai.
Right, in New York, correct. Yeah. And she's a licensed clinical social worker. So she works in the oncology department at Mount Sinai. And she was scheduled to do some traveling mid-late March. Traveled from JFK to LAX and LAX back in to JFK. And this was about the time when New York was beginning to figure out the severity of COVID. So when she left New York, it didn't have all the restrictions that came down a couple of weeks later. And coming back into New York, she had a busy weekend. She came back in on a Thursday, had to move, got moved, and then came down with what she thought was a cold. And she didn't have any more symptoms than a cold. And then a couple of weeks later, she goes, I think I've had COVID. She said, I've lost my sense of taste and smell. And although she works in a medical environment at that point, and I think it's the whole point around testing that still has lots of issues, was her symptoms were not severe enough for her to be tested. So she wasn't tested. Luckily, and she was able, because of her job, she was able to do most of her work from home in the middle of when New York was really shut down. So she didn't have to do as much traveling back and forth to work. But at New York at that time, when you think about traveling, you go from home into the subway system, onto the train, and then wherever you're going, and back again. And then literally probably 6 to 8 weeks ago, she was finally tested. And as a result of the testing, she found out that she had the antibodies for it. And luckily, I just think because of good health and demographic age-wise, she wasn't impacted severely, but she still has a loss of taste and smell. Mm-hmm. They still haven't fully come back. Now, and that's just...
Yeah.
And yeah, it just highlights some of the issues that we hear about medically when people have COVID, or the fears around getting it, and some of the issues around testing.
And also, I think you mentioned the fact too that she didn't have all those symptoms that you're supposed to have before you are tested. And even being in the health care industry, she still was not tested. Now, you're talking about from March until just a few weeks ago, 6-7 weeks ago, she was tested. So look at that, right? lapsed time in between. You know, she wasn't exactly a healthier person than the other stream could have happened to her. So
exactly. Mm-hmm. And I think it was one of the cries, or the cry that we still hear in regard to real frontline people, the emergency doctors and nurses and whoever's receiving people who really are those critically ill people, and you keep going to work day after day.
Right.
So there's a countless number of people who aren't even in the number who have probably had it, gotten over it, and then it's that whole issue of how it spread. And you have people who think they have a cold and they keep going, or you're not being tested, or you're getting tested late. And you've walked around during the part when you're infected because of the inefficiency around the whole testing piece.
Oh, God. Thank you so much for sharing that. And my best to Sunny.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, she continues on her journey and helping people that she helped, cancer people with cancer. And now right. She got to make sure she looks out for herself, you know, so...
Exactly.
Totally. And being one of the hot spots in New York, although they're quote unquote flattening the curve, it's still very, very prevalent there. So
very much so.
Now, we want to talk a little bit today, not a little bit, a lot about your business. Your business is Teely. And
Teely. It's a play on my grandmother's nickname. Her given name is Evelyn Jones.
Okay.
And her known affectionately by grandkids and sisters and nieces and nephews, she spelled her name T-L-E-E'S. So when we were thinking of what to name Teely's, it was a perfect play on words.
Yes.
In terms of a tribute to her, and it just so happened that her name worked in a way where we could take the T and add T-E-A for T, and then use the Lees. So it often is, you can hear it as tea leaf, mm-hmm. or, you know, how you hear it. It does oftentimes sound like tea leaf.
Well, what you're hearing is my Texas twang.
That's all right. Hey, Okay, and people without a Texas twang do the same thing.
They?
You are not the only one.
All right. Okay, great. Well, first off, why a tea shop and bookstore? You know, your husband, Lewis Freeman, really believes in the power of the written word. So we'll get to that in a little bit. But why a tea shop?
Just in a brief synopsis. So the tea shop was born out of, I can't believe it. It has now been, this April, I celebrated my 8-year anniversary. 8 years ago, I was diagnosed with a rare form of leukemia and went through a bone marrow transplant. Mm. And the transplant was a few months of chemo. And the cure, best treatment for me that I opted for, was to do a bone marrow transplant.
Okay.
So with the transplant, your immune system is completely taken away through chemo and then treatments of radiation. And those treatments of radiation and chemo, for me, were done in the hospital. And then I received stem cells and blood from two baby boy umbilical cords.
Wow.
And it's like a blood transfusion. And you get one small dose of stem cells and blood 1 hour. And then there's a second hour where you get the second dose of stem cells and blood. And that stay required me to be in the hospital for a month because the radiation and the chemo completely kills your immune system so it can then be injected with a new one through those transfusions. So I spent a month in the hospital, and not that you're old, Donnie, but you may remember the movie The Boy in the Bubble.
Yes.
He had no immune system.
Yes.
So it truly is going through that process is like being in that bubble.
Wow.
In the hospital, you're in a wing where they pump in the air. Nothing leaves your room. You don't leave that wing of the floor. Your food is prepared through a special kitchen outside of the hospital kitchen. They ask that your laundry be done on that floor. And so that you can gain your immune system back. So that process for me was miraculous.
Absolutely.
We had no history of cancer in my family. It wasn't something, leukemia or cancer isn't something that I can think of particularly that runs in our family. And I was actually on a trip. I was in Branson, Missouri. And that week I just became ill in a way that I knew it wasn't something common. And I got off the plane and went straight to urgent care. And that began that journey. So then once I finished with the bone marrow transplant after coming out of the hospital, I was off from work for 2 years.
Mm.
And that's just in order to be in environments really where you can control it, much like now.
Your
immune system is so compromised that you ease into certain foods that you eat, you stay out of germ-infected environments and crowds so that you can gain your strength back. And I was fortunate in that process went very well for me, and I was able to take off for 2 years. And then the life-threatening part for me was prior to that in a couple of bouts in critical condition. One with a lung infection, ironically, lung and blood infection. And then them just trying to figure out what was going on took about a month.
Wow.
So to fast forward from that, after recovering and been home for 2 years, it was my husband who looked at me and said, "So what do you really want to do with your life?" And we all have ways of answering questions indirectly. And what popped out of my mouth was a tea house. But I think it was just, it was the opportunity not to go back into a traditional work world.
Right.
But to have a business of my own. And I think a couple of influences there were why Livingston had Wystone's Tea in Lakewood.
Yeah, beautiful place.
Yes. And it was, I mean, her opening that up, it was unique and it was calming. And I've never been a coffee drinker. I've always been a tea drinker, and loved the business that she had there in Lakewood. And also the opportunity to go into business for myself. I think I'd done nonprofit. I'd done worked in the corporate world. When I was in Branson, I was working for the National Conference of State Legislatures, NCSL, doing event and project management work. A good experience, and it just gave me the opportunity to be a business owner and to really take on, I think it really did, to take all the things that I'd done before, put them together, and to make a business, to give the business an opportunity to fly. So that's how it happened. So in October of 2012, we sat down while I was off and did a business plan. I actually went to work for Wystone's for a year because Y transitioned out of her restaurant in Lakewood to a to-go coffee and tea shop down the street from where she had been. So it was the opportunity to actually go into a business and actually work it for a year, be a working manager there. And I guess it didn't deter me or scare me too much, because after that year, we started to pursue the funding and look for the location of Tea Leaves and all the licensing and things attendant with opening the tea house. So that's how it happened.
That's a beautiful story. Thank you so much for sharing that. And you know, on your journey of 8 years ago and now, still today, we just applaud you and so happy for your recovery. You know, we've been friends for quite some time, and I just have seen you in all kind of, I think, all kind of phases of your life, you know. So, so this is very exciting, and we just applaud you. So with the opening of the restaurant now, like I said, it's in Five Points, a traditional, historically black neighborhood in Denver, right, Colorado. But it's like many neighborhoods around the nation, it's being gentrified. And there's a lot of growth that's happening in the neighborhood, good and bad.
Right.
So you bring, now you have your lease there in 22nd Avenue, and you open up your shop. And I know that was a struggle right there just to get it open.
It was.
I know that you and Lewis did a GoFundMe page and to get some of the rest of the financing to get that up and going.
So right.
So you're going and things are starting to happen and doing okay. And then a major, major hiccup comes, and that's COVID-19. Okay.
Right.
And so like a lot of small businesses, especially black and brown businesses, the we thought was going to be a lifeline. That was the PPP loans. So you apply for these loans, and tell me now what happened.
You know, when you were talking, I was thinking of the word, the African word Sankofa.
Yes.
And the Sankofa bird.
Yes.
And you go backwards to go forward. So I think for us, one of the things that happened, the story that I'm telling, I've told up to this point, is the one that I tell, because that is the story. But really, when you go through something, you have to learn the lessons that you learned when you were back there.
Mm.
And I think that with COVID, the irony was it was March 17th. We were coming the weekend before. We had just done a birthday party for Lewis at the tea house. And Raj Dulari came, and we had done dinner. And that was on, I think that was the 6th of March. It was on a Thursday. It was great. It was small. It was intimate. And Raj is wonderful. The weekend coming, we had a couple of events planned, and we started to get calls where people were a little shaky about whether they should do any events with anybody. And so we were having cancellations on Saturday, and we actually had something booked on Sunday. And then by the time we got to Monday, the governor announced the orders to actually that the city was going to be shut down. And we kind of went back and forth for all of about 24 hours around whether we should open and try to do takeout, because restaurants that had food, and if you had the capacity at that point to do the takeout, they were being considered essential, so you could still stay open. Tea Leaves had never really functioned as takeout. Although we have a liquor license at that point in the city, there was no to-go takeout. And that, to me, is so crazy. And I laugh. I tease my husband, who's from New Orleans. The only time I had ever seen takeout alcohol like that is you go to, like, New Orleans, and they have the drive-up daiquiri.
Right.
So, just to wrap your head around the fact now that if you put some tape over the hole and put the city sticker on it, you can take alcohol out to go is like crazy. And then Denver a while ago had instituted, if you don't drink a bottle of wine, you can take the wine out. And now they're like, and now you can sell, you can sell bottles of wine. So we weren't ready to do that, and I don't think that was even in place yet. And then the way that we serve food, it was always food that was better in than out, unless you were doing pastry or tea,
right,
or coffee. But we never really thought of ourselves as a to-go place.
Well, the whole point of your place, I think, is the calmness of it and the meditation.
Yes.
And that sort of thing that you have with drinking tea and sitting right down and shutting down for a while.
Exactly.
To enjoy yourself, to slow down. I think that's one of the reasons why you really need to have strong Wi-Fi, or maybe Wi-Fi at all, because you want people to right unplug, and enjoy
exactly
themselves. I'm sorry to interrupt, but yeah, I was just thinking about that, because, that's what I like when I come there. He's like, I'm sitting down, relaxing and talking to Lewis or talking to you, and there's no
correct
interruption.
Exactly. No, and our theme is the rhythm of tea.
Yes.
And it goes back to tying into my grandmother. So my grandmother lived to be 98.
Mm.
And so my grandmother, and the reason why we're in the Five Points is neither one of my parents are from here, but when they moved here, they went to Manuel. They lived either in Five Points, or growing up initially till I was seven, I lived on Still, and then my grandmother moved into that house on Still, and then we moved into Park Hill, the typical movement.
Right.
And then at my grandmother's house on Steele, on 30th and Steele, those houses were like two bedrooms, one little bathroom.
Right, small places.
Living room. Yeah, but huge backyards, right?
Yes.
And you always, my grandmother was, it was about, everything always seemed plentiful. Even if she had a little, there was always something to share.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then as a kid, I just remember at Thanksgiving, whether or not you like football, that was America's team. Dallas was on. You had this big dinner. Your family was always there. And it wasn't like you separated off because somebody had a phone in their hand or
right,
a computer.
Right.
And it was always like the good food, the good conversation, the camaraderie. So I think the model for Tea Leaves is thinking about those times when it really was about having that place where you can go, you can relax, and you talk and you meet up with people.
Right.
And so that really is the basis of Tea Leaves. Gotcha. And we didn't want to lose that. And in just trying to jump into something we had never done before, it took a moment.
Right.
And then in addition to that, it was trying to be healthy and also not give or take anything at that point. Because all of a sudden, something we've never been in a pandemic, what does that mean? And what does that mean that the whole nation is shutting down? I mean, it's almost like something out of science fiction.
Right, right.
And my mom lives here. She's good. She's well. She's healthy. But my mom she just turned 81 in June. And I've been the one, like they said, the other thought is, She doesn't need a caretaker. She does wonderfully by herself. But I was at that point doing grocery shopping and any errands for her, as you know, as you're trying to scout out toilet paper and paper towels and
right.
basic supplies. And I think we were exhausted. We had had an exhausting 2 years.
Yes.
So we decided to just to hunker down. I think it was a moment to just to stop and just to hunker down. And the irony of that is, since we've done that, the conversations, I think people are at a weary stage right now. But initially, I think it was the gratefulness that you could just stop and mm-hmm. you could just mm-hmm. think, and
yes.
you could just be. And I remember probably back in February when we were close to our 2 year anniversary, I said to my husband, kind of in jest, because now you've had 2 years have been open, but we had 2 years of just trying to get open. And I was just like, wouldn't it be great if we could just stop and do nothing, not nothing, but
right.
the reflective piece of saying, okay, what did we do well? What could we do better?
Right.
How could we stop? And I was thinking, gosh, if we had a month and then we could reopen after doing sort of a critique and a reopen, wouldn't it be wonderful? And we got that. But I mean, not wanting it to be something where you have 100,000, 150,000 people dying or people very sick.
Right.
But it happened. So
yes.
It's also taking that moment to say, how are you reflective? And I guess it's like Donnie McClurkin has the song, You Just Stand.
Yes.
Or sometimes you just need to be still. And I think there weren't two people in the whole wide world who needed probably to just stop and be still for a moment than we were in that moment.
So in that moment, you know, so now you reopened July 1st, and we got about 5 minutes to go. And,
okay.
In that, a lot of small businesses like yourself apply for the payment protection program.
Right.
And the fact that you were so small, you are so small, you're just, you know, a couple of people, yourself and your husband, sometimes a couple
right.
of employees. I know that was one of the reasons that you may have been turned down. But you decide even to hold off from the May opening that the governor had talked about until July 1st. How has that been since you reopened?
So we actually have not opened yet. We took
okay.
our time. And the reason being is you don't just reopen. So a couple of things. You're at half of the capacity that you were. So it meant we had to rearrange the entire upper and lower floors.
Okay.
And that's what we're in the process of doing now. And then the part that I was talking about is probably being your own critic and saying, what can you do better, and how can you exist into the future? Because there are so many businesses that are not.
Yes.
We've decided to add on takeout. I'm in the process of applying for the curbside and some extension of our space to the outside. And then I actually did a online boot camp through Makisha Booth, Sisterpreneurs, which was wonderful.
Nice.
And so if we were to have to shut down again, how do you help yourself to exist as you move forward? And like you were saying, the last year, we've only been open 2 years, so really you're a startup. So the first year we had employees. This year we were going, and we still are. And by the way, this is a plug if anybody's listening. We happen to need a cook, and we're looking for another staff person. But at the time we shut down, we were just in that process of gaining more employees. So the year previous, it was the two of us that were really working the business. And so when it came to the payroll protection program, we as a small business didn't qualify because we didn't have employees. You had to have the employees. And I know the intent of it was to keep people employed, or when you reopen, that people did not lose their jobs.
Right, right.
So that was the challenge. And then, and I know some small businesses who did get it. So it's not like I don't know anybody who didn't get it, but we happened to fall in that crack where we didn't get it, on top of the fact of how the banks process loans for businesses. A small business can be millions of dollars and hundreds of people.
Right.
And again, that was the biggest story out there. So a lot of what I call mom and pop smaller businesses, mm-hmm. where we would be, or when I talk to like Mility at the Whittier Cafe, another great place in the city. And to quote her words, she goes, "We're the micro businesses." And those thousands of micro businesses that exist, they're also part of that engine, but there wasn't consideration of that engine. And then I think the other piece of that, as people of color, our access to capital, even when you start up a business, is always a challenge. And oftentimes we're starting businesses with our savings, with family, friends, you beg, mm-hmm. borrow, and steal.
Right, that village of investors rather than those angel investors.
It.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. So, Risa, this has been amazing speaking with you. We got about maybe 30 seconds to go.
Sure.
Anything you'd like to say in closing? To the folks out there, first I talk about, you mentioned a resource of sisters, sisterpreneurs.
Yeah.
And then you also mentioned that you guys are looking for a cook as well. What is your website?
www.teeleesdenver.com. And we are at 611 22nd Street. And that's Denver, Colorado, 80205, between California and Welton. And we should be open, and don't quote me, follow the website. We're working to get open mid-August.
Great. So we're speaking and have been speaking with Risa Jones, co-owner with Lewis Freeman of Tea Lee's Tea Shop and Bookstore in Historical Five Points in Denver, Colorado. Talking about many things, COVID-19, directly impacting her family, also how her business was impacted, and just getting a business started. So it'll be a lesson in that, how to have patience and getting your business started, especially as you say, a micro business. We thank you so much for being with us, and we hope to speak with you again soon.
All right, and thank you for your over 30-year friendship. That's what I was just telling my husband. I can't believe it. It's been more than 30 years. Thank you, Donnie.
I know. Well, I value it, and I appreciate you.
Me too. All right.
Take care.
You too.
Okay, bye. That concludes this episode of Destination Freedom Black Radio Days. I'm producer-director Donnielle Betts. The 2020 season will examine the issues facing communities of color, exploring police shootings, immigration, health disparities, and gender bias. Support for Destination Freedom is provided by the Bonfi Stanford Foundation, the Ulipians Fund of the Denver Foundation, Arts and Society, and Karen and Johnny Klein. Destination Freedom Black Radio Days is produced by Donnielle Betts. The series is remixed by Maurice Smith, a.k.a. Reese. Make sure you check us out at nocredits.com and pick up our podcast wherever you get your podcasts. iTunes, Radio Public, Spotify, etc. Follow us at Twitter at Donnie Betts, hashtag No Credits Production LLC, hashtag Black Radio Days, hashtag Destination Freedom Black Radio Days. Thank you for listening.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard. So you were being crucified over here, but yeah. Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.